This is Open Run.
Not bad.
Nailed it. Love it.
Welcome back, folks, to Open Run. This is the voice, the sultry, sultry voice of fresh youth. Untattered vocal cords. After All-Star Weekend in Los Angeles, NBA All-Star Weekend has come to a close, which means we've got the wrap-up show here for you. Stefan, where in the world are you?
I'm sitting right next to you. My ghost is sitting next to you.
Fair
I think
enough.
I got up early, and I not on purpose. It just happened, and I started drinking some tea because I knew we'd record today.
Sure, health is first.
Health
guys.
First, self care, and I'm in LA because we just did like 5 straight days of All Star events.
Man, I mean, the giving just doesn't end. It's just generosity killed the cat here. Guys, we are also like we're sitting in my kitchen. Let's be honest. We're sitting in my kitchen at the counter.
This is not a studio.
This is not a professional work environment. We've got 2 mics set up. There seems to be 2 can flasks. I was gonna say canteens or flasks.
Yeah. I just wanted you to have some visual reminders here.
2 cups of tea. A couple leftover tickets from a secret party, these little like golden tickets.
Oh, that's what those things
and,
were?
Yep.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Just some other items. So we have been out there, you know, working for you guys, pounding the pavement, getting the skinny, enjoying ourselves, living vicariously through NBA players, as all young men of a certain age do. And so let's get this thing started. So it's Monday morning. It's President's Day. Whatever that means.
Yeah,
and, great. But Thursday night, I think we got things
Thursday
started.
Thursday it started off. Is there any chance we can remember this in chronological order?
Well, yeah, we went to our first kind of NBA All-Star event. Was it the Kendrick Show?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So I went to this...
At LA Live, right?
Yeah, like this Amex Kendrick thing downtown. It was very cool. And there's a bunch of basketball players there.
Saw the round mound of rebound.
We saw the round mound of rebound.
Yeah,
yep,
that was important.
You might notice him on our Instagram, just asking for a time slot. We're just begging to kind of get on the docket to get the Open Run bump. We got a tweet the other day about giving somebody else the Open Run bump.
Draymond
Green, sure, still riding our coattails, still. Living in the wake of the debut flagship podcast, which is Open Run. But man, look, guys, we had an outstanding weekend. A lot of highs, very few lows, and our commitment is really reflected in our willingness to party until the wee hours every day to make sure we're seeing it all.
The goal is to keep your finger on the pulse, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it's tiring. Sometimes that pulse is just going to keep going until maybe sunrise.
You might say it's a process.
It is a process. I mean, I would legitimately wake up most days, every day this weekend, I woke up ready for bed.
No, and I also mean, that was actually a quote. That was actually something I think I said Thursday night or Friday night was, is that the process? Because the process was standing over there and waving us in. And, we landed the plane and caught up a little bit. And some of our highlights and lowlights involve dancing with Draymond. We had the process, Joel Embiid there. We party with Ben Simmons was there also, though we didn't actually get across the room to say what's up. So that doesn't fully count as he's not getting the full Open Run bump yet. That Aussie talent.
Your man Kevin Love was in the place.
Kevin Love was in the place, just on all cylinders.
He was bringing his A game.
He was dressed one of the sharpest dresses.
Yeah.
There.
I envied his leather jacket situation.
He seemed to be having a really good time. And it was good to see. We were joking about, he's the one that's been given the most shit.
Yeah.
The Cavalier, but he's also kind of the last man standing. And really seemed to be part of the family over there during one of our parties with LeBron, and Draymond and KD, and Kevin Love was absolutely in the mix. You know,
yeah.
People talk about him getting ostracized and stuff, and the guy just seems, without telling anybody's business, it's just that, you know, he seems to be really thoroughly actually in the fold.
Dude, it just seems so positive.
Yeah, they just seem to be above all the gossip.
That's my takeaway, one huge takeaway from this year, and you caught it last year too, but the feeling of unity, just the strength of the NBA, and like, I don't know, at the risk of saying the obvious that it's a player-driven league,
yeah,
it's obviously a player-driven league, but just the way that you could see players connecting and celebrating things, and even to the point of the game last night where you see all these old, you know, embattled teammates joining one another on the court, like seeing Russ and KD on the same team, seeing LeBron and Kyrie on the same team.
Yeah, I want to get to that, and actually right before that when you said embattled, I also just think about, you say player-driven league, when we saw Michael Jordan last night, and Dominique Wilkins and Kareem and, you know, Bill Russell, Charles Barkley, Shaq. These guys are constantly in the flow of what else is happening and supporting the young guys. And they're kind of always brought out. And more consistently than other leagues, you have always a nod back to the previous generation, always an acknowledgement, always kind of a circular relationship. You know, you got Dominique and then you got Donovan Mitchell, their new dunk contest.
Right.
Champion. Yep, and our bagels have arrived. And that's that.
Oh, and that, a that large coffee. Smelling, thank you so much.
Sweet smelling, crinkly sound.
That's what I really needed most. Can you pass it over here? We should always record in the kitchen, by the way.
I think we should do most things in the kitchen.
This is really feels right.
And at every point, you know, we joke, guys, about discovering our age and being older than the players, and it's also really, really cool to also just be a fan. And I think and appreciate and be grateful that how cool this is and how cool our life is and being able to like move around and be a part of a community and be and then swinging by and chopping it up with Dave Chappelle and then like going to a party with a couple NBA players and Stevie Wonder and LeBron James and, you know, and John Wall and all these actually really cool guys aside from being superstars. It's a hell of a time to be alive, and you know what you kept running into, as well as I, is the enthusiasm about the show. Like, open run. How much they love it, and what they and ideas they have for it, and who they want to have on.
Yeah, that was beautiful, and also, you know, I'm still really proud of the chalk line jackets. So of course I wore it all weekend long, the open run jackets that you saw on the old Instagram there.
So many different wardrobes, guys. So many different themes. We went to places that were cocktail attire only, suits only, dinner parties, dance parties, speakeasies, concerts, all of them. Stefan's wearing the same chalk line open run jacket like he's in a Public Enemy video in 1988. The basketball version of Fight the Power jacket. That's really great.
It was really good. Yeah, really respectful of all dress codes. Didn't remember to bring a suit this time. But, you mentioned something about the player legacy, and I did want to talk about, you know, at the games, when you're at a game, you don't see the post-game comments, you know, like you do on TV. So this morning I was watching the post-game stuff, and they had LeBron after he won MVP. Shout out to LeBron James, All-Star MVP. He was up with Chuck and Kenny and those guys, and he was talking about this situation where the woman at Fox News said, "Shut up and dribble," which I'm sure everybody saw, and, you know, you can Google her name. If we're not going to give her extra press, but she said the woman on Fox News made the comments in response to the video of LeBron and KD, and LeBron came out really strongly defending, you know, his right and other players' rights to speak their mind and why he's more than earned the right to, you know, weigh in on whatever he wants to weigh in on. Point being, when he gave the interview with Barkley and Co. after the game, he was talking about his motivation to do that was seeing the older players and talking to, you know, thinking about Oscar Robertson and thinking about Bill Russell and thinking about Kareem and thinking about these other players who were definitely told in one way or another to shut up and dribble and who wanted to speak and who did speak.
Yeah.
And he feels like he's dropping the ball if he doesn't also speak. And it just was pretty rad. And I just feel like this weekend has just been one nonstop experience of being moved by the players, but also by LeBron in particular, and the way he navigated that ridiculous moment.
Yeah, it's one of many ridiculous moments throughout particularly a black athlete's life, I'm sure, and it's twofold. I think that obviously this idiot person who made the comment is really, you know, there's so much kind of baked in racism involved, and it's but also I've got a kick out of the obvious hypocrisy because somebody, I think it was actually Chris Long, the Philadelphia Eagle, now world champion, Super Bowl champion, Chris Long, who's always, who's developing a nice reputation of kind of being the cool white player that like stands up and has a conscience and actually being decent, you know? And he pointed out with great visual assistance on Twitter that Fox News always has people from entertainment.
To Chuck Norris.
They have Chuck Norris and Kid Rock talking about freaking international policy and the space program.
Duck
and
they
hell.
Get Duck Dynasty talking about ISIS.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Literally the Duck Dynasty guy talking about ISIS.
Yeah.
So they have no credibility whatsoever in telling people to stay in their lane. Fox News is just literally just the least accredited, the non-accredited university passing out diplomas every day.
And she's getting multiple facts wrong. Talking about when he left high school and talking about, you know, $100 million a year and talking about all this other stuff. Like, I don't know. You're going to go all in. Get your shit together.
There are many ways. People find many, many ways to just tell black people to shut up, or people that they find, you know, men do it to women, certainly, disenfranchised groups. And this is just the most recent example of it. But I would also say, I think you tapped into something about kind of watching this version of LeBron James right now, where he is in his life and career, and watching him move around. It's really cool to just, he's kind of like the Jay-Z of basketball in that everybody just kind of knows that he's the leader and respects and acknowledges how he moves and the example that he sets. Seeing him on the court, it's, you know, there's LeBron and then there's kind of everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody else is an amazing talent pool. The starting five for LeBron's, I was like, is this the best starting five of an All-Star game ever? And I'm sure it probably isn't, but
it was jaw-dropping. Yeah.
Kyrie, Westbrook, KD, LeBron, Ant Davis.
Oh, man. In Boogie's jersey, which was beautiful.
Yeah. Shout out to Anthony Davis for doing that. That was really a cool move.
But that's another thing. Everywhere I turned, it was all this, like, I don't know, just so much love. And I do want to say about LeBron, it is like, he's like a walking masterpiece. I just feel like right now, I mean, it's just, it is like, I know I'm a little, like, gassed up, but it just,
well,
seeing the way he navigates everything on the court, off the court right now, I don't know. It's just, it's been like,
people find their rhythm and their comfort zone, and like, it takes time and energy to use your voice properly and respond to a spontaneous question that you didn't expect and figure out how to be efficient with language. And one of the things that you know, again, you mentioned it being a players' league, and I think one of the things I was trying to communicate about witnessing this year is that really, like, a league without borders in some way, like, there's so much drummed up rivalry and this, you know, KD versus Westbrook and Kyrie versus LeBron and people moving to different teams and trades and the IT got, you know, thrown over to the Lakers, and there's a lot of room for division and isolation and cliques in the narrative around players' lives. But then when you strip away all of that kind of pomp and circumstance in terms of the narratives driven by media and you just see them, they're all super cool with each other.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's all love. And they're all actually, when nobody's trying to, like, when nobody's kind of forcing the way, the lens through which we view this thing, they're just kicking it.
Yeah.
Russell and KD were sitting there talking shit on the court.
That was beautiful.
In the warm-up for like 5, 6, 7 minutes.
It made me so happy. I was watching video of it this morning. I mean, look, when you grew up a fan of the NBA, you remain a kid at heart in various ways whenever it comes to basketball stuff. And I remember, you know, when KD left the Thunder, I was getting all emotional about it. And it is very strange. You know, the closer you get to the actual humans, it becomes a lot harder to grab onto that manufactured drama shit. Because it's just, it's literally just that.
I wonder what our buddy Garrett Colton thinks about how he feels watching Westbrook and KD chum it up in the beginning of the game.
I know.
How do Oklahoma, as fans of, diehard fans of a really great team, and in their short history, I've cultivated a really great kind of culture in OKC, the fans, I think. Kind of, they go where Russell goes, Mm-hmm. They feel how Russell feels, whatever position he takes. They kind of like, all right, we're riding with you and we're against KD. But now to see them chatting, what happens to the like the body of that fan base? Do they have to now accept the possibility of KD not being a demon?
Yeah, right. Right. I mean, seeing the three of them on the court at the same time, Harden, Durant, and Westbrook, I feel like I can see the one tear going down Garrett's cheek. Just that what could have been.
Right.
Anyway, the game was pretty great. I think that it actually worked, especially second half. The new changes did activate some stuff. Apparently, they're now... KD had mentioned that maybe they should do the draft live on TV right before the game. So it feels like a pickup game.
Whoa.
Which is an amazing idea. And Adam Silver said seems to be saying they may... I mean, I haven't gotten to investigate yet, but it sounds like he... is open to the idea of having the draft televised.
Yo, that's a really good idea. That's a really good idea. They all show up and we watch the draft, and because that's when you get, that's what builds in anticipation.
Yeah, but go, what about right
the
before?
The last pick, and you go, all right, here we go. And you're like, okay, who's going to man up with it? Wow, all right. Like, it's fresh and new.
All Jordan Brand and NBA have to do is just print print jerseys for everybody.
Which they
for
do
both
for
teams.
Super Bowls and championships anyway.
Right, so just like, get both jerseys printed up and then they take the black or the white one depending on what team they're on.
I'm glad we came up with that idea. That's a very
cool idea. Yeah, that's our idea.
That you heard here first at Open Run.
Print extra jerseys. Mm-hmm. You're welcome.
We missed the dunk contest. The three-point contest. We were busy shooting something else and it really annoyed me that we missed it. What did you make of it? Talk about your feelings missing the dunk contest, Stefan, and when did you stop crying and how did you recover?
Okay, yeah, I was really biting my tongue on that one. Important work was being done, I felt, so it was understandable. The dunk contest is typically one of the highlights of All-Star Weekend, maybe the highlight.
Yeah.
But...
Well, did you feel like it was highly anticipated this year in particular? I was maybe not as pumped up based on the who I'd heard was in it or wasn't in it.
Well, I think the lack of Aaron Gordon and the lack of Zach LaVine, you know, the two dudes who had just done the most, what may be the best dunk contest ever.
Yeah.
That made it a little tough, but man, Donovan Mitchell's Rookie of the Year campaign just keeps growing. I mean, it's no small thing to show up as a rookie and win the dunk contest.
Right.
And right, he's really pushing this narrative of he's rising up. I mean... I don't know what's going to happen with him and Ben Simmons at the end of the year. I don't know how they choose. Tunde is convinced that it's about getting buckets, that people love the bucket getters Rookie of the Year. So Donovan has more points. If he has a higher points average, they'll just go with him.
What about team record or anything? Do you think they treat it at all like MVP? Were they
not as heavily, I don't think.
Not as heavily, but...
But Ben Simmons is the well-rounded, like the triple-double. He's like the walking triple-double.
And nobody puts an asterisk on Simmons because it's technically a second year, even though he didn't play last year.
Nah, just because he didn't get to play. He's, right. Yeah. So wait. Okay. I'm kind of tailspinning trying to put this all back together. It's like Memento. This is like our Memento podcast. But I think if we go back, Thursday we were at that Pete's.
Thursday went to the NBA Kendrick.
NBA Kendrick, and then there was a Beats party, right, with Migos playing?
That was the next day.
Oh, no,
I think
was the next day.
This is our life, guys. It's all a blur. It was just a... We just went to that party with KD and LeBron and those guys. It was not a... It was the same venue. It just wasn't
that was
the
Friday.
Beats party. No, there was?
Thursday. Oh, no, Thursday was the uninterrupted party.
Yeah.
Yes.
At that same place.
My bad, yes.
Okay, and then Friday... No, that was Friday was good.
So we don't know what happened yet.
But so Thursday was something else. Huh. We should make sure to record this, thinking out loud. This is the compelling stuff. And then there was a lot of, it was just a lot of, and now when we say a lot of parties, we're not talking about like, we're not like raging and making a mess and it's not the hangover.
No, we actually, if it were 10 years ago, it would have been a little like that, I think. We kept it pretty clean.
Yeah, nobody else did, but we were
we were beacons, shining beacons.
Stoicism.
There you go, there's the proof.
Yeah, that's what you can prove is in the
wow,
Raspy voice.
Wow, real voice for the radio here today.
Let's see, what else?
Well, I have something I want to talk about.
All right.
You told my favorite joke of the year.
Oh, okay. Oh, let me set that up.
Okay, please.
So another thing I think that is can't be left out in terms of the we have this. We come away with this really like positive theme for the weekend, right? It just feels like a lot of positive energy. The players are cool with each other. There's, I said, borderless kind of league. Everybody feels like there was a lot of love. I think I gotta factor into this, man. The Black Panther came out this weekend, and people are just happy, and people are feeling good, and people are feeling pride and self respect and just unity and feeling together. You know, I'm talking about, you know, people that we know and care about, and people that are moving with a different kind of pep in their step and posture in their spine, and it's just like a fun love. It's a lot of love this week, and we're seeing that.
It's been the subtext to the whole weekend.
Yeah. I mean, people are just like feeling great, and have you seen it, and when are you going to see it, and you know, kind of, you know, it's a shared event and a shared experience. And out here, you know, at the game, you know, Chad, who we talked for a long time last night, and Michael B, who's like a little brother to me, I've known him for a while, and so we get to see them and see how they're handling this kind of completely surreal experience of being part of such a juggernaut.
The global conversation.
I think that was the phrase Chappelle used on stage, and him and Chris Rock were on stage with Stevie Wonder and Thundercat, and pulled Chad on stage, Chadwick Boseman, the lead of Black Panther. And just like, I think he called it like the juggernaut.
He did say the juggernaut. Yeah. It was memorable.
It was a cool use of the term. But it's, you know, just like when you see players happy for each other, when you thought maybe you'd try to create some kind of manufactured tension, it's cool to see entertainers like happy for each other and lifting each other up. And Chappelle couldn't stop talking about, go watch Chris's new special on Netflix, and you know, and then supporting Chad, and it was cool. It was a lot of love.
You're trying to dodge telling the joke. you're going to be forced to retell it.
So at that event, at that little party that we were at with Chad, where Chadwick Boseman was, him and I have become friends, and we were talking about a whole range of stuff, and then I let loose with possibly the joke of the weekend.
Joke of the year.
Yeah, I mean, but the surveys that have been coming in for the weekend certainly have me well ahead.
Yeah.
Well ahead of, I think, who's on my tails? Chris Rock and Chappelle and Jeff Ross.
But they're way behind.
It was, I mean, you set it up. You witnessed it. So I'm in it, you know?
Okay, so
I don't want to get too big ahead.
Oh, this was so satisfying.
It's like when you make the touchdown catch in the Super Bowl, and I can't describe it to you.
I could tell you were like blacked out.
Yeah.
So the setup is that we're at this venue where Dave Chappelle is basically hosting like a live jam session. And when there's not a band on stage, there's a DJ, so there's music all night. Except for one moment, which is the moment you told this joke.
Really?
The music cut. There was like, okay. And I saw our friend asking if you wanted a drink. Offering to get you a drink graciously. And then he asks Chad too. And then you jumped in. And before Chad could give his order, should I tell the people what you said? You said, what kind of drink do you want?
Oh, that's just so good, just hearing it again.
And that's basically exactly the type of joke that I would think we're making all weekend. I was even joking with our dear friend Andre about, how for some reason a certain level of giddiness makes me just tell like crazy uncle jokes all weekend long. And there was a lot of puns. There's a lot of heady stuff. The Wakanda drink do you want? I thought was the perfect joke. Totally silent. The response was silence also.
It was confusion. I think that sometimes when you get hit with genius, you can't really receive it at first. You don't quite know.
Yeah.
And that's funny you say that. So the music was jamming, it was loud, and then I just caught it right in that pocket where
there was just a moment like between like they were going to transition to the DJ and he hadn't queued it up or something.
Yeah,
because I wasn't like that close to you.
You hear like forks clattering, and then what kind of drink do you want?
What kind of drink? But you really delivered it like we're in the Catskills.
I delivered it and then gave. I think I distributed one if not two high fives immediately.
And then my favorite part, you had to retell it and explain it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which always feels good.
Yeah.
I'm not, but I think, do you think it landed
I think it eventually landed, and it's one of those things, when you hear an idea that's so good, you can't believe it didn't already exist.
Yeah.
I think it was that kind of stunt. If I can speak for my man, Chad, I think he was receiving it. It was like, oh my God, that's such a good joke. how have I not heard this before? I'm surrounded by questions and interviews and junkets. He's traveling the world promoting, you know, the biggest movie in the world right now about Wakanda. And no, he's not heard that it used as
he hasn't
a,
had this
what
gold
kind of
just handed to him.
Yeah.
And, honestly, I thought it was the funniest joke ever. And I was so, I was laughing very hard inside, probably a little outside, but also I'm not actually in the conversation.
Right.
And I heard it because the music died down. So I'm not going to be like yucking it up or run over and be like the peanut gallery.
It's really special to witness a moment like that, though. Like, somebody delivering a joke, being really pumped about it, and looking at the, you know, the response.
This is my baffled. This is my long-winded way of saying I love you.
Oh, man.
It really moved me.
Oh, that was a special moment.
And I will say, like, it's not a coincidence that most of the stuff we're talking about is the stuff surrounding the game, because it's not like this is a hard basketball weekend.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a celebration of life, and it's a celebration of hoops. And I thought that LA was a pretty strong city for it. It was a little trafficy and a little, you know, for me, New Orleans will be impossible to top just because I think as a host city, it's just the most magical place. As you, you know, when we talked to Draymond, mm-hmm. he wasn't totally in agreement, but that is one thing we forgot to mention. There was a fun bit where NBA TV came through the uninterrupted offices and Mav and Draymond kind of gave them a tour.
Yeah.
And Draymond popped in. And paid us a little visit.
That's where we tape our podcast often. That's our headquarters there. So we're in session while Draymond and Maverick are doing a kind of walkabout tour for NBA TV. And, you know, we know what they're really there for, which is to get a live look into, you know, how the donuts are made. And those donuts being these two sausages right here, make an open run. And so they pop in and...
We're in LA, guys. We're doing this in studio here at the Uninterrupted headquarters in sunny Hollywood, California. And this is All-Star Weekend, folks. This is now Friday. All-Star Weekend kind of began for a lot of folks in earnest, like on Wednesday, I think, if people flew in. Stefan is here in LA, hungover in his open run jacket, which is really, really great for sound because it's very swishy.
Everything he said is true. I like NBA All-Star Weekend so much that I abandoned my fiance on Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
And my Valentine's Day dinner was at Cantor's with my friend Spencer.
That's why you got that locks change text last night. Doghouse. The emoji of a doghouse and a padlock.
It was a dog, a house, and a lock.
Yeah.
I think we're off to a good start.
The raging began yesterday. Thursday was a full day. Stefan began it. You actually began it, interestingly. You were in court. You were in court. Press charges. We'll let you guys Google the rest.
My day went from West Hollywood. I woke up in a hotel in West Hollywood. I ended up in a courthouse in Pasadena.
Mm-hmm.
Then I went to a comedy club in Inglewood.
That's right.
Then ended up at a club with you and Mav. And who else was there? Friend of the show, Swaggy P.
Yep, KD.
You know, yeah, there was a good scene. Sam Amick, two-time guest of the show.
That's right. I think they said Odell Beckham was there.
Yes,
some people.
Yes.
Supporting Kith and Ronnie's outfit. They got the new shoe with LeBron.
It was very crowded.
It was very densely packed.
I felt like an old man.
I was just concerned about the fire hazard mostly the whole
Me
time.
Me too, the capacity. I was notifying security.
I may or may not have made an anonymous phone call. Just for everyone's safety. But yeah, the raging has begun. It was a pretty action-packed night. Fun as hell comedy show in Inglewood. Tiffany Haddish, Chris Spencer.
Yeah.
And now we're at the offices kicking off doing this little product with NBA TV. And tonight we have a Kendrick concert. We got a bunch of stuff going on. We may or may not be... we're not judging the dunk contest, it turns out.
No. We're judging the finger roll contest.
Yes,
that's happening over in Los Feliz.
Right. Yeah. Or Los Feliz, as I call it.
Los Feliz. Thank you. It's been totally un. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know how they did that. It's Los Feliz. The word is Feliz.
Do people say Los Feliz out here? Because I always want to say
not
that
really.
Like,
they always say Feliz.
There's no Feliz. Even if you tried to anglicize it, it's Feliz.
Yeah,
Los
but
Feliz.
Where is the line with like the accurately pronouncing things? We don't say Paris, we say Paris, which is saying it wrong.
I think it's very funny, like the news anchors you see who are like, And this, you know, and reporting from the scene at Uninterrupted Headquarters, Stefanos Marolahakis. Like, yeah. You suddenly break into your, like, really valid Greek accent. You just left the village when you got to your name?
The one word. And then you go right back I'm in the taco. Yo. On air. Middle of a show, Chief.
We're talking here.
I don't know how they do it on your show, but we like to kind of respect the airwaves. How are we feeling?
Yeah, okay.
How are we feeling? You're an all-star, so okay.
Feeling
good?
Draymond, good to see you,
Join us for a second. I know you're a hot shot, a lot of places to go.
Oh, man.
How's it feeling?
Man, it's great. You know?
Made the team.
I did. I was shocked.
You owe me $100.
I would have bet with you.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
I didn't really expect to, but it's great.
What are some of like the cool things about All-Star Weekend?
I mean, number one, just being one of the guys. Right. You know, like, it's 24 guys and it's a tough league. So just being one of those guys. But then, you know, trying to, you know, catch all the good events. It's so much going on, so you got to kind of be selective. But trying to catch the good events, I think that first time you do it, you, like, pick all the wrong stuff because you just do everything.
Yeah.
So kind of figuring that process out is always
the trick. Do you care what city it's in? I know, like, Super Bowl, it's an outdoor sport, so people don't want to go to a cold place. Do you care where it's at?
So I think it definitely should be, you know, in pretty fun cities. Like, Toronto was super cold.
Yeah.
But it was amazing.
But it's a great town.
That was still good.
Great. Yeah. So, and it was 25 below.
That's a good point.
But Toronto's, it was incredible. Great. So I think it's just about finding the city with the right vibe. Just because it's a great city doesn't necessarily mean it's a great vibe for All-Star.
New Orleans was strong for All-Star, I felt like.
You didn't have a great experience there?
I did not.
Uh-huh.
Oh,
I did not enjoy New
Really?
Orleans. It was just too much. Like, you like,
it's a lot.
And
it's a different planet.
Yeah, and Mardi Gras was going on at the same time.
Yeah, it was a lot.
Like, you're standing at a corner for 40 minutes because you can't cross through the Mardi Gras parade.
Yeah. Like, Fat Tuesday becomes Fat Wednesday.
Yeah,
Thursday.
Draymond,
I got a question about this weekend. Do you actually think the game will be more competitive because of the whole team captains thing?
I think it'll be more competitive because of the team captain thing. I think it'll be more competitive because of the charity aspect that's added to another winning
team. That was smart.
And then also, they bumped the money up a little bit. Like, you know, last year.
Oh, did they?
Well, yeah. Every other year, you get like $35,000 for winning, and you get $25,000 for losing. Who cares?
Right.
Now it's $100,000.
Now it's a bigger disparity.
$100,000. Yeah,
and does that just go right into your like fine box? You just keep a box for your fines, or how does that work?
They can just keep my check at the league office.
Keep a tab open.
Yeah, don't even send it to me.
Okay,
there's no point.
Now we researched this. It turns out, I just want to make sure you're aware, you still only get two texts in the All-Star game. So just don't, because sometimes you get extra stuff because the All-Star game. So you gonna use that? Is that more first half? You think in second half? When are you gonna use these things?
I'll probably be thrown out by the second quarter, but that's okay.
That's strong.
But you gotta,
I think there's an MVP argument. If you get thrown on the first half, you basically are in the top two for the MVP.
Right.
I should be.
Just like spirit-wise, at least.
It's about entertainment, right?
That would be a nice odds breaker right there. Yeah. People, you know, who's expecting to be the MVP? I think, you know, body some fools and just take that. Have you considered Skills Challenge dunk contest, three-point contest?
I thought about doing the Skills Challenge this year. I did it in Toronto my first year being All-Star. And, you know, I was close to doing it, but it's just, you end up losing so much of the day when you do
it. I was
going to
say, is it just become a distraction? Like,
yeah,
you need your
it's
time?
Like, you're so pressed for time with all the stuff that you have to do.
Yeah.
And then that ends up being, although it's only a 20-minute thing, it ends up being a 4 or 5 hour block of your day that you just got other things going on.
Yeah, yeah. It's a lot. It's a whole lot.
Is there anything like, are there any people, like, my sense coming into this is it's like some sort of summer camp reunion or something where, like, you get to see everyone all at once. Do you end up getting that vibe?
You do get that vibe. And what you end up realizing is it's kind of a good break where you can kind of put everything aside. You're not worried about what's going on during the season. And, you know, all that stuff. It's just, you're there kicking it.
It comes back to even.
Exactly.
Like, everybody, you're not stressed about your record.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a good time. Think right now, everybody always think you're at the halfway point of All-Star break, but you're way past it. So
we're at game
56. So it's kind of a good reset button, or 58, I think. So it's a good reset, chill, kick back, and then you know, you get back in the flow after.
I mean, on the flip side of that, it's all friendly and everything, but is there anyone in the All-Star game who has a target on his back? Is there anyone you're really gunning
for
to,
get to
like
this,
show him who's boss?
Somebody pop some shit, like a couple of some stuff.
KD, man, he on LeBron team.
Yeah, have y'all been giving him hell in the locker room?
Absolutely.
Of course.
By the way, they do this picture with your jerseys before the game. They present you. Our last home game, they present us with our jerseys. And he was like such the odd man out. Like all three of us had the black jersey.
Yeah.
And he had the white jersey. It's just.
That's such a Warriors problem, by the way, because the whole team is All-Stars. Only the Warriors have this issue.
Problem,
Yeah,
man. So we got an issue with him, man.
Oh,
man.
Wow. Yeah, icing him out in the locker room?
Absolutely. We're not rocking with him right now.
Whoa.
This is all the Warriors recruiting tool.
I like this. Yeah.
Device. Yeah.
Yeah, it's very casual.
Is there, I'm just reminded because I lost a bet. I had Knicks by 90.
Oh, yeah, thank
last
you.
Week. So this just reminds me. Any follow up issues with your on air bets with the other day, college?
Nah, man. No issues. I'm still disappointed.
Yeah,
emotionally.
I think a lot of people. It was cool to see like the underworld of the college, like that people really rock for their alma mater, and you guys have like a default bet, right?
Absolutely.
Like
it's so it's automatic 100 unless I call you and say, man,
I'm sitting this one out. Like,
nah, not sitting it out.
You
can't
step
sit
it
out. We can push it up, but it's automatic.
Automatic.
I don't care
off.
If Michigan State play Davidson, who's horrible.
Right. All right. Get that in.
Steph. That's an automatic 100.
Wow.
Now, if we want to bump it up, we can bump it up. So I hadn't talked to ET, but they beat us in football.
And this is strictly football.
Y'all don't
basketball.
Oh, yeah.
Automatic.
But how do people know? You got to be friends for them being in the betting circle. Like it's not a random.
How do we get a standing
random,
bet with you, I guess?
Yeah. Pelican and being like, yo,
nah,
you owe me
100.
Nah,
I mean, if he walked by me like, yo, we beat y'all, I got you.
Okay.
Like, you got us.
Nice. Wow.
It's just kind of an unwritten rule in the NBA, automatic bet.
Yeah, I have a standing bet on the Knicks, which is why I don't have any money.
Yeah.
That's why I'm broke.
Exactly.
I walked here from the hotel, yeah.
Yeah, his toothbrush is under the pillow.
That's rough,
man. Well, thanks for stopping by the flagship Uninterrupted podcast. How's your podcast going?
Oh, so we took a step back, man. I'm kind of trying to figure out, you know, what direction I want to go with it, because it was kind of, you know, in the space of it's just me and the host. So, like, do I want to bring guests? So,
yeah,
really just figuring it all out. It was good to get my feet wet. Now I got a feel for it.
Right.
So, possibly something that we'll be getting back to, but just kind of trying to figure the structure.
Because
you're, out.
I mean, yeah, you've got 82 games a year. You're all over the place. Yeah. Do you always do it? In the Bay, or are you doing it on the
so
road?
I've
you
done
hotel?
It on
are
the
you
road, hotel room? Yeah. Studio on the road, studio right. on the Bay. I've done it all over the place.
That's how I used to be. Yeah. I used to be in a band that was on tour constantly. Like, get a hotel room alone, 2 to 4 a.m.
Yeah.
on the East Coast, calling Jesse on the West Coast.
Yeah.
So,
it's rough. Cool. Podcast life.
Appreciate it, fellas.
Right, yeah, man. Thanks for coming on Open Run.
See you out there.
All right, man. Take care.
It was good. Again, like community, borderless. We're like, we just kind of all overlap on each other and share love and support. And, you know, just lift up the kind of, it is a very unifying cultural moment, you know, this weekend. It's people that are showing each other support and being creative. And the people who are the stars get to be the fans, which is always like a funny cycle to watch.
It's the coolest. You just see everyone fanning out on each other.
Yeah.
It's so rad. Yeah, just to see all
the
people
celebrating
each other.
I think also with like dysfunction in other leagues and obviously the world right now and in politics and Trump obviously and NFL has had an ugly 2 years kind of, right, with really trying to disenfranchise their players and Kaepernick and kind of finding its identity. Who are our stars? Who are our teams? And it's just a far less kind of personal and awe-inspiring cultural connection between the players, the performance, and the fans. And the NBA is just like that family picnic. It just, you know, watching the young kids get really, really excited. We were sitting behind the bench, the All-Star game, and they had like 15 young kids, maybe 8 years old, that all had, I don't know, they won something, but they all got to sit right behind the bench and like grab their towels and just watch all of these incredible, a lot of future Hall of Famers playing. It was That's something that's pretty special.
In terms of the actual play, also, there's some interesting stuff going on. Embiid and Westbrook kept had a little kind of
yeah. Talk to me about that because I didn't fully. Get
so
that
they have an ongoing, you know, they seem to have a really cool competitive thing going.
Yeah,
on.
And they make gestures to each other. And,
yeah, they
and,
like they go at each other whenever the Sixers play the Thunder.
There's so they went at each other yesterday a few times.
Apparently, Russ kind of dared him to shoot this really long three, and he drained it.
Okay,
and then Russ came down the court and Embiid
blocked,
swatted,
him.
And that just means that next time the Thunder play the Sixers, it's gonna.
That was the take. The it was 2-0. Like Embiid got him. On both
I'm sure Russ
got some redemption.
I feel Russ must have gotten some redemption, but the highlights that I saw were very processy.
We'll ask Garrett. I'm sure he's got the time code.
Oh yeah, exactly. Garrett will send us all the links
when Russell, you know, did something good.
But I'm trying to think what else jumped out about the game. It was the closest All-Star game since 2012.
I wonder what you guys thought, you know, as viewers, because honestly, we were watching it. There were some comments from folks around us that it's kind of boring in the beginning. There was a lot of missed jump shots. You know, we went from, you know, we've attended many All-Star games, and there's a lot of dunks usually. They just kind of clear the lane and people just go up and just yell at each other, right? Alley-oops and dunks, and it's just constant highlights. This year, some of the players actually, we were talking to the night before, we're saying they expect this to be a little more competitive because the winners, there's a significant difference between the winnings and what you get if you lose.
Yeah, Draymond mentioned this too, I think. Yeah.
Right. So there's something to play for. It's for charity. And I think he thought people take a little bit more pride in winning. So you definitely had stepped up defense. You have people going full court defense at times. People meeting the ball at half court.
Yeah, yeah.
But a lot of missed jump shots and not a whole lot of dunks and alley-oops. So it seemed a little sloppy and boring and anticlimactic early on.
Yeah, that's the Advil
like,
talking. Yeah.
It seems like they like really, really tightened it up. And obviously the fourth quarter got really competitive. And like a
and the game
excited.
Closed out with like two of the greatest defenders, I don't know, ever. In the corner on Steph, one of the greatest shooter ever. So that was pretty dope. And yeah, I think like you got... And also what's cool is the real... You know, the guys you can set your watch to were dominating the All-Star game. And then the young guns were winning the skills competitions. Devin Booker won the three-point contest.
Yeah.
Donovan Mitchell winning the dunk contest. It's just, I think the league's in such a special place. The young guard is so good. And you'll see Ben Simmons on the team next year, without a doubt.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
and...
we're in a really good place. I mean, a couple years ago, I remember all the, you know, worry about, is the age of the big man over? And then that...
Yeah.
Slowly starting to right itself, and we've got a couple really good draft classes that are panning out. So yeah, it's a hell of a time to be an NBA fan and just to be a part of culture in general. We're hitting a real tipping point, I think, and the power shifting more towards people and creative folks and less towards like rules and division. So I'm pleased.
I mean, it's. Yeah, that is basically the takeaway. But and now, coming out of the All-Star break, the things to look for are obviously to see how the Cavs are going to continue to gel. Mm-hmm. LeBron, I think, going to All-Star, said something to the media to the effect of, you know, the only thing slowing us down now is the All-Star break.
Yeah, yeah. Like,
they have a serious thing happening there. I really do think this narrative of, like, surround, make... LeBron James excited about what he's surrounded by.
Yep.
And you get the best LeBron James you could possibly get. And LeBron, if you're out there listening, I talked to my dad this morning and he apparently still thinks that New York has appeal for you. Which
and then he woke up.
And I tried to talk him off the talk him down a little bit. I don't have any expectation that he's going to be coming to New York. I just want to put that to bed right now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm slowly getting less delusional. But yeah, you know, and I guess some of the chatter over the weekend was, do we think that anything will change after the break? You know, a couple people I ran into, you know, do you think there's anything beyond just the Warriors winning again? And I actually do think the Cavs are really dangerous now.
Well,
like they awoke, like a slumbering giant has been awoken or something.
And they had a great test right off of the heels of the trade. They played the Celtics and they smashed them.
Killed them.
That's a good test. That's a conference test. That's the highest, you know, that is who we were talking about, who's gonna be top dog, and they answered that question for now at least. So that was very impressive.
I mean, before we go, I do also want to say that someone who I think you actually know pretty well, who I've not met, blew my mind this weekend, which was getting to see Usher sing. And I've never seen Usher perform.
Yeah.
And I'm not at home listening to Usher records, mm-hmm. you know? If I hear it when I'm out, it's fun. Yeah,
right.
Common performed The Light. And all of a sudden the hook came in. Like, I heard the beat. It's a really memorable beat. Right. The band played it. And the hook came in and Usher started singing. And it was like the skies opened up type of shit. I couldn't believe it.
He's incredible. He's incredible. He's a friend, and I've seen him perform several times recently just at different events, including his birthday, which was amazing. And how quickly you forget how many hits he has.
Oh, yeah, because he broke out a few.
Like, obviously recognizable, bona fide hits he has. And, you know, I think for some performers, there's a bit of a gray area. Some people have three really great songs. Some people have seven, you know. Some people, you know, when you realize over and over and over for a period of decades, like, because he's still a young guy, right? You still think of him as a young guy.
Oh, totally, totally.
As a kid. It's like, yeah, again, another one. We have 22 hits, like huge hits that get the party going. And he's a classy guy, and it was really fun to see him up there. Just, you know, like a chameleon too, doing his own songs, that Bilal. Piece on the comedy. He's all over the place.
He's basically real, like, yeah, and
he understands
also,
music. He's not.
Oh, yeah. He's like, seeing him in the context of also then Stevie Wonder blowing my mind apart. Usher is like, strikes me as old school musician, old school entertainer.
Yeah, entertainer.
Like, do you want me to be the best dancer in the room? Do you want me to be the best singer in the room?
Yeah.
Like, anyway.
He could be from a different time.
Okay, so after seeing Jordan also at Staples Center, he came out as a reminder that he will be host next year. Next year is in Charlotte.
Yeah. Yep.
Air Jordan will be the Don. He already is the Don of.
Which, as we know, means that nobody can arrive at the airport in Charlotte not wearing Jordan apparel, or they will be kicked out.
I thought you were going to say wearing like very long, baggy slacks.
Yeah. Yeah. And, with a shirt, mock neck tucked in.
I'm gonna shape my mustache for that weekend.
Was it Iverson? Whose story was it that they had a Reebok deal that showed up at Jordan's house for some event wearing Reeboks and Jordan made him take them off?
I didn't know that's what you were referencing.
Yeah.
No.
I wonder if it was Iverson back in the day.
That sounds familiar.
Yeah.
And he just like gave him a pair?
Yeah. Well, I don't know if he even gave him a pair of Jordans, but he made him took those damn
Reeboks. Oh, make him walk around barefoot.
Yeah, you're not walking around.
I picture him with like the pneumatic tubing system where you press it and the Jordans just arrive.
Right, in your size.
I don't know, man.
It's a hell of a weekend, guys. You can hear it in our voices. We are drained. We are exhausted. We are fulfilled. We're really happy to be able to do this and to be a part of it and get an up-close look like we do. And we're glad to have you guys listening. It's good to see how much. Today we got to see, this weekend, we got to see how much love there is for the show. That means a lot.
Yeah, it was a beautiful thing. As always, you know, feel free to be tweeting us the questions. We got to get back into Tweets Is Watching. And 323-736-1703 is the hotline, which I forget to shout out. 323-736-1703 is the open run hotline. Send us your questions.
One last little epilogue, one little story here. Michael Jordan still owes, this is from several articles online. We'll see if they're true or not. Michael Jordan still owes Bow Wow a pair of Reebok shoes and Duke University shorts. The former child star, this story came unprovoked when he was asked on the Desus and Mero show if he had ever gambled with the greatest basketballer of all time. So apparently this says Jordan's savagery continued within Moss's story, and it can't be described as unprovoked. Moss made an error by wearing the gear of a rival sports apparel company when he slept over at the house of his childhood friend Marcus Jordan, Michael Jordan's youngest son.
Oh, wow, yeah.
So Bow Wow and Marcus were friends. So the whole run-in could have been avoided if Moss had simply worn a pair of Jordan's Air Jordan Nike shoes. Turns out Jordan did not think young Bow Wow, who also was the star of Like Mike.
And at the time was Lil Bow Wow.
That's right. Jordan didn't like the idea of... They didn't think that Bow Wow was showing the proper respect he deserved in his own house when he showed up wearing Allen Iverson's Reeboks.
That's the Iverson
connection. Oh, boy.
And he was wearing Duke shorts.
First of all, who the fuck wears Duke shorts? Let's get real.
Yeah, what player are you?
Come on.
What are you doing?
What are you doing?
So he's wearing Duke shorts, the North Carolina rival, and Iverson's Reeboks. And that was a pretty big mistake. Michael Jordan threw away my Iverson sneakers.
Oh, no.
When I was staying over at his house, he threw away my Iverson sneakers. And I would always stay at the house. People don't know that, like Mike, I wore Iverson's number 3. Because Iverson changed everything. I was supposed to wear Michael Jordan's number 23, but I pushed really hard to wear number 3 because AI was my guy. So in that movie, he chose Iverson over Jordan. So I go there with AIs on, and I woke up, and my shoes were gone. I remember, this is a true story, Michael Jordan came in, I was asleep on the floor, and Marcus was in bed or whatever, and Jordan kicked me up and said, "Y'all wake up." I swear to God, he said, "Whose shoes are these? And who has these damn Duke shorts in my house?" And I said, Bow Wow said, "I love Duke. Those are mine, Mr. Jordan." And Jordan said, "Yeah, I figured." And he grabbed them and he threw them out. And then he said, "My daughter, Jasmine, go get some Jumpmans for him now." That's a true story.
They don't have the trundle bed at the Jordan estate? He's on the floor?
Apparently.
Huh.
Maybe it's for his osteoporosis.
Maybe he woke up on the floor because, you know.
Yeah, maybe
he got
Jordan,
like, kicked out. Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Exactly. Wow. Should we play some portion of Fergie's national anthem in the credits of this show?
Oh, yeah. Maybe, yeah.
Should that be our new opening song? Should we bump?
Yeah. We could. Just the when we want part could be like the opening loop.
Yeah.
Wow. All right. Done deal. Till next year or next week, depending.
Peace. We're out of here.
For more Open Run, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes or visit openrunshow.com. And if you like being in the loop, follow us on Twitter and Instagram @openrun.